Good evening, everybody. It is March 29th, 2020 for our PM service. And we had a little problem this morning with the uploading of our service. And I'm sorry, as I've told you more than once, got to be patient with us. We were trying a new and better way. Well, the new and better way took longer than we thought. So we hope you enjoyed the service. I think the devil really didn't want you to hear that service this morning, so that's the reason why he kept on trying to throw wrenches into it. So do your best to make sure you listen to the service. I know it was an hour late almost, but thank you for all the encouraging words. When we were sending texts out, so many people responded back, and they were saying, we'll wait, and it's okay, don't worry about it. We're going to watch it whenever it gets up there. So thank you for the encouraging words, and make sure you do that. This evening, and in our Sunday evening programs right now, our services right now, we are still just having a preaching time. No special music, no congregational singing. And we might change that because of the government stay-at-home or the governor's stay-at-home order is going to supposed to last for another 30 days. We might start implementing a little bit of other stuff inside of it too. But the message tonight is found in the book of Esther. The book of Esther. I'm going to start in chapter number 3. It's part of our series, The Great Questions of the Bible. And so far, the first 4 weeks, we've looked at God asking man a question. And we probably have a number or more sermons in that series. And I'm excited, especially about next week's series. Next week's sermon is about the story of Job. And God asked Job a really great, intense question that gets him thinking. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm praying that God lets us do it next Sunday, either morning or evening, maybe even both services as we tell the story of Job. But the Lord laid upon my heart to look at this famous question in the book of Esther. Her uncle Mordecai asked Esther a question. And it's a very thought-provoking question, not just for Esther, but also with the day and time that we live in, and especially with the things that are going on around with the virus. We wonder what in the world is happening. Why is everything seem like it's so out of control and out of whack? But here in the story, God shows his providence with this young lady named Esther, and how God had prepared her for this moment in time to help save her nation. And as we consider, what am I doing here in 2020 amongst a virus outbreak, amongst economic uncertainty? God has you right where he wants you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. So in the story here, there's a wicked man in the story named Haman. Haman hates the Jews, and there's many people the devil has caused to hate the Jews. He's not the first to try to knock out the whole Jewish race. You think about it, you think about Pharaoh. What did he do? He tried to knock out all the Jewish people, and even other people more modern day, like Hitler, wanted to get rid of all the Jews. There's a lot of people that tried to stop the Jewish nation from continuing on, and the reason why is Satan knew that Jesus was going to come through that line. And if he could have gotten rid of all the Jews, then Jesus could have never came. But we know God in his providence and God in his all-power, all-knowing way is able to see things beforehand. And in this story, that's exactly what he does. In his sovereignty, he places this young lady in a position, a special position, Queen Esther. And as we're considering for such a time as this, I want us to be thinking about why God has us living through this, why God chose to have us living in 2020, why God has placed us in this church family, why God has placed us in this nation, why God has placed us in the circumstances we are in. It's not for us just to sit back and not do anything. Esther in the story, that's her first reaction. Oh, that's horrible, but what do you want me to do about it? And I think that's the question that many of us ask. Oh, I hate seeing what's happening, but what am I supposed to do about it? And that's where Esther here shows us some couple things in the story. And I think we're just going to go ahead and read for a little while, give you some commentary on the verses. I'm going to look at this sermon for such a time as this. Let's go ahead and start in Esther chapter number 3, and we're going to start in verse number 12. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people and every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language and the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews. So at this point in time, what's being told is there is a kingly decree that Haman had convinced King Ahasuerus to write. Now look at what's going to happen to the nation of Jews and all the people of the Jews, all the Jews that would be on the earth at this point in time. It says to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So not only are they giving them a right to kill the Jews, they are paying them to kill the Jews. He says, whatever they have, you get to take. And it says, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, and the city Shushan was perplexed. So this decree goes out, and it encompasses a large number of people. But the king is not aware of this, and even Haman's not aware of this, that Queen Esther is part of that decree. Now, obviously, most of us will understand when the Jews hear this, what's going to happen? They're going to be perplexed. They're going to be concerned, even fearful and worried. And let's see how some of them respond here in chapter number 4. When Mordecai, now Mordecai is known as being Esther's uncle, known for being a godly man, says, perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. So the sign of sackcloth is a sign of sorrowfulness. And you see him here putting ashes also on, another sign of sorrowfulness and also a sign of seeking God. And it came even before that the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, which is obvious. Of course, they're crying out. But look who they're crying out to. A great mourning amongst the Jews and fasting. Fasting is a way that people use to get close to God or get God to hear what they're saying. And for them to focus on some type of special need, they want God to pay attention to. And weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So you see a turn to God and begging God for help. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Now Esther is saying, look, she doesn't like what's happening. She hears Mordecai's out in the street, and he's got this sackcloth and ashes on. She's sending him raiment, saying, hey, look, you need to stop this. This needs to change. And then it continues on. Then that Mordecai said no. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlain, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai, to know what it was and why it was. So Esther's not aware of the decree at this point in time. She sees Mordecai is sorrowful, sees that Mordecai is crying out. She wants to know what's going on. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree. So he explained it all, even gave him the poster that they were putting up that was given at Shushan to destroy them, and to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. So in the consideration here, what's being done is Mordecai says, here's what's going on. Here's the decree. Now, I want you to go tell Esther, I want you to go unto the king and speak on behalf of your people. Verse number 9, and Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And she's making an excuse here. She says, I understand what's going on, but I can't help. All the king's servants and the people of the king's providences do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. Now, we see in the story, she says, I can't go in. She says, if someone goes in unannounced or uninvited, that they are put to death unless the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. She says, I haven't even seen him for a month. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. And she says, don't think that you're anything special. Just because you're queen does not mean this is going to make sure it doesn't happen to you. Verse 14 is if we had a theme verse for the message or a text verse, it says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. So what Mordecai is saying here, you should help. If you choose not to help, God can bring help from somewhere else. It talks about the sovereignty. I love that. It's not all on Esther. It's not all about Esther. But God wants to use Esther. Don't ever think that God needs you. God wants to use you. God plans on using you. But the purpose is God can do it anyway without you. But for your sake and for your family's sake and for the blessing of God's sake, we need to make ourselves available. And that's what Mordecai is trying to tell her here. He says, deliverance arises to the Jews from another place. Verse 14, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then this is the question that we're looking at in our great questions to the Bible. This is the first time we're looking at a human to a human or a man to a woman. He asks this, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I think the question is very interesting. He's saying, now Esther, think about this. Somehow, some little peasant girl got to be queen to the greatest, most powerful king that was living. Now, Esther, you've made it to this kingdom. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. And he's saying, now, I want you to consider something. Consider this, the reason why you ever was brought to this kingdom, ever allowed to become queen, was for this moment in history, was for this time, for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and feast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help for this service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and hopefully with humble hearts. Lord, seeking your will, seeking your wisdom, and looking for how to respond in a time like this. Lord, we're thankful for Esther's response, thankful for a godly uncle that reminds her and asks her an important question. And Lord, help us as we consider this question, see some of the responses here. Help us to be able to apply them to our hearts and lives today, and help us to learn from them, help us to grow from them. In Jesus' name, amen. For such a time as this, there's three responses I think that we should have during this day and time that we live in. And once again, dealing with the coronavirus and dealing with all the things that are going on. Esther was faced with a tragedy. Esther was faced with a really big problem. The Jews were going to be destroyed at a certain period of time. Esther's a Jew. Esther's uncle says, hey, you're the one that has the influence. You're the one that can make a difference. You're the one that can change the circumstances. Now go talk to the king. And Esther's like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand, uncle, I haven't seen him for 30 days or I haven't been called into his presence for 30 days in the least. And because of that, if he turns around and he doesn't reach out his scepter, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be put to death. We already know that the guy sometimes has a little bit of a volatile personality, or he gets upset. Remember what he did to his first queen Vashti and sending her away just because she wouldn't serve. And I understand why she didn't. But it is a dangerous thing here. She's concerned. She's fearful. There's three different responses I want to look at today. The first time, it is a time to be courageous. It is a time to be courageous, not fearful. It is a time to be courageous. So in the day and time we live in today, God has put us here. God is sovereign. God knows all. God has a plan and purpose for everyone. He has placed you here in 2020, and you're in a place that there's a lot of people that are fearful. There's a lot of people that feel uncertainty, a lot of people who are worried. So why did God put us here, and how should we respond? For such a time as this, it's a time to respond with courageousness, or being courageous, having courage. Esther was here, and something had to be done. Her uncle is encouraging her to act courageously, but Esther is fearful. And in today that we live in, it's a very fearful time. God has a plan for Esther. He brought her to the kingdom for this time and for this moment. She just didn't realize it. And when we look at the scope of things and we remember that God is in control and that God is high and God is lifted up and that God is the one that knows the end from the beginning. He can see everything before. He can see everything after. And he places this in certain purpose for certain reasons and for certain purposes for such a time as this. So whatever time you're living in, whatever time that you're doing, remember, it is a time to be courageous. In a day that people are afraid of the virus that we're seeing in our nation and seeing around the world, we must learn to fear God, not fear the virus. Have a fear of the Lord and the fact that we don't want to disappoint him, we don't want to fail him, that we want to reverence him, and that we see him high and lifted up, and our only response is, okay, God, I see you high, I see you lifted up, what is it you want me to do here? Nowhere does he say, I want you to be fearful. Anything he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants us to be courageous today. You say, well, how am I supposed to respond? Respond with courage. Over and over in the Bible, even in Joshua, a number of times says, be strong and of good courage. And if we go throughout the Bible, we see men and women who act in bravery, act in courage, act with faith, and we see God using them in a special way, and that's what's happening with this story here with Esther. Mordecai is saying, for this moment in time, God has placed you here. Now have some courage and go talk to the king. Now, don't get me wrong. If you say no, God's not going to have his hands tied. God can provide it a different way, whatever God wants. But this is the reason why you've been created. This is the reason why you're here. Here is your purpose in life. Now, be courageous about it. Show some courage. I think about some of the great Bible characters. I think about David with Goliath there. And David standing before Goliath is showing courage. Now, everyone else on the side of the mountains, they didn't have courage. Saul didn't have courage. The other people that were there were not being very courageous. But David, he stood up to Goliath. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the courage to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, the courage to pray. Nehemiah, the courage to help build the wall. You see how God uses people that are in fearful situations, and how are you supposed to respond? What are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to know how to respond? He wants courage. He wants you to have faith. And as you have faith in God, that will encourage you to do what's right, and that will give you the courage that you need. Now, it's not a time that we turn around and do things according to our own plan, according to our own purpose. We let God lead us and direct us. So the first point, it's a time to be courageous. Secondly, it's a time to fast and to pray. It's a time to fast and to pray. You see in the story here what Esther's asking him to do. Esther says to him, he says in verse number 16 of chapter number 4, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast and pray for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. You go back to chapter beginning of chapter number 4, and it talks about how they are fasting and how they are praying. It says in verse number 3, in every providence, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. How do you respond to a tough situation? How do you respond to a national catastrophe? And that's what they're talking about for the nation of the Jews. They're talking about wiping them all out. How do you respond to it? First, you be courageous. The next, you fast and you pray. You don't go and do things according to your own plan and your own purposes. Esther's saying, okay, Mordecai, if I'm going to do this, I want to hear from God. And at the beginning of chapter number 4, what is Mordecai doing? He is fasting, he's praying, he's crying out to God, he has the sackcloth, he has the ashes there. What is he doing? He's seeking God's help in the situation. And who knows, maybe God's the one that spoke to Mordecai's heart and says, you know what, Esther can do this. Esther's the one that can make the difference. Esther's the one that can help make a difference for the nation of the Jews. But before Esther ever was going to do it, there had to be a Mordecai. There had to be someone who's going to encourage her. It didn't seem like Esther was signed up to do it. Didn't seem like Esther said on her own was going to say, okay, I'll go ahead and take this on for the Jews. I'll go ahead and stand up. No, she needed some encouragement. She needed some understanding. And that's where the question is for such a time as this. Why has God brought you here for this time and this moment in life? It's first of all to be courageous. Secondly, is to seek God's will. It's by fasting and praying. This is what Esther wanted the people to do. She didn't want to go in on her own. She didn't want to act by man's wisdom. She didn't want to act on Mordecai's wisdom. She didn't want to act on her own thinking. She says, no, I need God in this. I need to fast. I need to pray. I need to seek God's will. I need to seek God's plan, because without God, I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything. And you see in the story here, Esther seeks after God. You say, Pastor, how am I supposed to respond? The things that are going on seem like craziness. The people I work with, the people I live with, am I supposed to obey the governor's commands or the orders or whatever you call them? Am I supposed to, you know what we should do? We should seek God. You know, everybody has an opinion. The amazing thing is everybody has usually a different opinion. Some people feel like the government are overstepping their bounds. Some people feel like the government should do more. Some people feel like we should be meeting in church, and some people feel like we should be doing live stream. Some people take the 6-foot thing very seriously, and they'll wave at you, and they don't want, you know, it's amazing, but we're not looking for man's wisdom here. We're looking for God's wisdom. We're not seeking what is best for us to do in our own mind, because in Esther's mind here, she was saying, oh, that's really a shame. Here, take these clothes of Mordecai. Hey, tell him, you know, that's, I can't do this, because if I try to help, then I'm going to die. No, no. She says, I want you to fast and pray. I want God's input in this. I don't want it to be about me. I want God to take over. The Bible speaks about this in a story where a man brought his son in order to be cast, have his demons cast out of his son. The disciples could not do it. For some reason, they were frustrated. They were agitated. Even the religious leaders were mocking them, picking on them. Jesus comes down off that mount, and you see in the story, he condemns those religious leaders. He casts the demons out of the son. And then the disciples, when they get over all by themselves, maybe that night they're going for food or they're getting ready to rest some, they go to Jesus and says, why couldn't we cast out the devils? Why is it in the past we had the chance, but now it doesn't seem like we have that power, that ability? And he gave this famous answer. And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And that's a thought there. He says, the reason why you couldn't do it is because you weren't close enough to me. Certain spiritual battles is going to take a little bit more work. It might take a lot more work. It might take getting so close to God and communing that you're willing to skip meals, skip eating for a few days, just so that way you know that you're close to God and can focus on God and focus on His Word and focus what He's trying to teach you, so you can see God in all these circumstances. They were coming to Jesus, these disciples, and saying, hey, we couldn't cast them out. We could cast out other times. And He says, no. This type is only by prayer and fasting. I don't know what other things had to happen in this world, like we talked about in this morning's sermon. I don't know what other things must happen in this world that's going to cause Christians to get on their knees, to cause Christians to take their walk with God seriously, to cause Christians to forget about the things of this world and be focused on the things of God and say, God, I want you to use me. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek your face so you can teach me. You can show me. You can give me direction. But so often, as we brought up this morning, it was, oh, that's a shame. So we're like the story of Moses last week when we looked at it. You want to use me? Oh, no, you can't use me. I think that you're God. I'm going to fall on my face. But when you start wanting to use me, oh, don't you know how much it will cost? God knew exactly how much it would cost Esther. Mordecai even had an understanding how much it would cost Esther. And sometimes to take a stand in a day and time we live in means it's going to cost us something. Sometimes it's going to cost us our entertainment. Sometimes it's going to cost us friendships. Sometimes it's going to cost us the pleasures of this world. But it's worth the cost. And that's what Mordecai is saying to Esther right here. He says, look, God created you for this moment, for this time. I know the cost. I know what I'm asking, but it's worth it. And what is it going to take for America's churches to say, you know what? This is worth it. God placed me here for right now. And he brought me to this moment. I live in this day and I live in this time. How am I going to respond? First, I want to be courageous. I'm not going to let fear conquer me. Esther needed some encouragement. I'm going to be like Mordecai. I'm going to encourage people to do what's right, even though it might cost them something. And then I'm going to be like Esther. Even though I might have some fear, even though I might have some reservation, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to seek God's will, and no matter what it costs, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. If you go back and you see how Esther made that response, and Esther said, okay, I'll do it, and you see that phrase that's at the end, it says, if I die, then I die. It says in verse number 16, if I perish, I perish. Once she understood what God's plan was, once she understood God's purpose was, and once she was able to 3 days to fast and pray, and this is what God wanted, if I perish, I perish. The things of this world can go away. My soul is not as important as what God's plan is for me. If I die, then so what? I'm going to be in heaven. And that's what she's saying. I see that God has put me here for a reason and a purpose. And this human body, it's only temporal. God's plan and purpose for me is more important than the things of this world, than even my own life. The third thing, it's a time to be courageous. It's a time to fast and pray. Last but not least, it's a time to speak up. So we need to be courageous and not fearful. We need to fast and pray and not do things according to our own wisdom. Because according to our own wisdom, some of us think, hey, we should buck the system. And some of us think we should go into hiding. You know, our own wisdom is not going to get us anywhere. Remember, you know, you can make yourself think what you're doing is right. You know, whatever a man does in his own eyes, he thinks it's right. He can convince himself of so many different things. But if we look for God's wisdom, there's something completely different that could come. Third thing is, it's a time to speak up. What do you mean? When you think about it here, there's two different people here that are speaking up. First is Mordecai. Mordecai says to Hatak, I want you to go to Esther. She should go to the king. And he comes back and says, you know what? Esther said that she doesn't think she can do it. Now, what many of us would have done would have been, okay, if that's how Esther feels, then it's fine. But no, Mordecai says, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to introduce a question to her. I'm going to help her understand something. I'm going to continue to encourage her. Think about this, Esther. Think about what this means. Think about where you're at and why you're here. And while you're here, consider these different things that God maybe it brought you to the kingdom for this very moment, Esther. I want you to think about that. I'm not just going to stay silent. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to get corrected. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to ask the question. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to do what is right. And that's what Mordecai is looking at her and saying, hey, I know that it's tough. And I know it's going to cost something. Mordecai was the one that had raised her as a young child from what we can see in the scriptures. Mordecai is the one that took care of her. And it would hurt him if she was hurt. But he doesn't care about that. He wants to do what's right. I believe he wants to do what God has laid upon his heart from him praying and him weeping and him crying. He's the one that says to Esther, you need to do what is right. And we need to learn how to speak up. And once again, after fasting and praying, after the direction of the Lord, speak up. Sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes when you're amongst your friends, it's harder to do. I appreciate Christian schools. I grew up in a Christian school. But sometimes, and I also got a chance to go to a public school for a year. Sometimes it's actually harder to live for God in a Christian school than it was in that public school. I know there was only 1 year versus 12 other years. To stand for God is something that we must do, not just amongst those that do not know him, but amongst those that know him also. And that's what Mordecai is speaking to his niece and saying, hey, look, for such a time as this. Now you also see Esther willing to stand up and speak. Esther is willing to go into the king. Esther is willing to put her life in the line. It could cost her her life, but there are times where we should not remain silent. There are times when we need to speak up. There are times where we need to rise up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are times when we need to call for repentance. There are times when people should stand up and say, I believe in God and I do not care who knows. And that's where Esther is saying, this is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. This might cost me something. This might cost me my life. But Esther says, oh, there's a time where I should need to speak up. You think about, when's the time to speak up? Speak up when people's lives hang in the balance. Speak up when people's lives hang in the balance. What Mordecai is saying to her is talking about, hey, if you will not go on unto the king and speak for the people, the Jews, people's lives may be lost. And I want to encourage you, sometimes it's an uncomfortable conversation talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't tell others? Why is it that we're not more bold? Why is it that we don't truly express our faith and we do not communicate our faith to others? Because it's uncomfortable sometimes. We're fearful sometimes. Sometimes we think that they're not interested. We think that they may be embarrassed. We think that we're worried how they might respond. Where many times all we're truly worried is about how we're going to get hurt. There is a time to speak up. And I believe during this time and day that we live in, it's a great time to speak up. It's a great time to rise up and say, there is a God that's in control. There is a God that loves you. There is a God that has everything under control, and you can know him personally. And in a day and time where there's so much uncertainty and so much fearfulness, we have the message they need. We have the anecdote. We have the remedy. Maybe we don't have it for the virus, but we have it for something that's so much more important, the sin-sick souls of man. If there was someone out there today that had this virus remedy, and he could make a lot of money, I'm sure, but he had the antidote, and he was hoarding it, what would you think of that man? He should be put to death. He should be dragged out of his house. He should have to share that with the person. And I know that the bodies of mankind and some people are hurting and some people are dying. And I'm not minimizing that because God cares about that. But at the same time, the souls of man, there are people dying and going to hell. And we have the remedy. We have the antidote. We have the help that they need. And yet we remain silent sometimes. So what do you do for such a time as this? Why has God placed you here? First of all, it's a time to be courageous. Secondly, it's a time to fast and pray. Thirdly, it's a time to speak up. I remember the story about the blind men in 2 Kings chapter number 7. They had gone and God had caused the army to flee and they had gone. They were going to give themselves over to the army, hoping that they would just get some food because of the famine. And they went to the tent and nobody in the army was there anymore. They went and ate the tent and they took all the possessions out of the enemy's army and the enemy's tent. And they went to another one and they were sitting there and they were feasting. And within just a little distance away inside the walls of the city, there was people dying because of the famine. There's people eating dove's dung and donkey's heads and even doing cannibal type activities. And they're there feasting in these tents and they look at one another and they say, then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. What they're saying is those leopards, I might have called them blind men earlier, but those leopards are there and they realize something. Just a short distance away, there is something that those people need and they had what they needed. And they says, we do not well. They says, we have something they need and we're not giving it to them. And that's what so many Christians do. They hold on to the gospel and just right around them, maybe people who live in their own house and people that are nearby them, we're not doing well because we do not share the gospel with them. And there is a time to speak up. And I believe now is the time to speak up. If we do live in the last of the last days, and if this is a defining moment in history, it is time for us to speak up and say, there's a God that knows you and cares about you. And you can know him too. Today, for such a time as this, I believe God's created us and put us here for this moment to be courageous. Never does he tell us to be fearful. I think it's a time where we draw closer to God by fasting and praying. And also, I believe it's a time that we speak up. I want to give you a little challenge. I've been praying about this a little bit and thinking about how to help lead our church family during this time. So I want to give a challenge to anyone who would like to take up on it, is to have a specific amount of prayer time each day until the state of emergency is lifted off of America as a whole. I don't know what the national emergency is. And my goal, and I'm going to promise to make a vow before the Lord, to pray an hour a day at least for, not just for specific things, but spend at least an hour a day praying and seeking God. I'm also going to spend different times and different portions with fasting. And I want to encourage you, and I don't think it's wrong or bad to encourage Christians like Mordecai that says, hey, look, this is a serious time, serious measures. I think we should pray more. And I want to encourage you as a church family, and obviously those who are not watching that are part of a church family, encourage you to spend an hour a day in prayer. You say, Pastor, I'm busy, I'm fast. What is it going to take for us to take this seriously? What is it going to cause Christians, what's going to have to happen to cause Christians to get to their knees? Now, if you only pray a few minutes a day, an hour may seem like it's unreasonable. Maybe it's a 20-minute window or a 30-minute window or a 45-minute window or an hour window. And I'm even going to look a little bit extra about giving you a little bit ways to help that. And not on message time per se, during sermon times, but throughout the week, we talk. I think it was a few years ago, about how to pray for an hour. I went to a conference here recently, and the man used a whole different formula, but talked about how to pray for an hour. And on upcoming, one of the great questions of the Bible that Jesus asked his disciples, specifically asked Peter, could you not watch 1 hour? And I know that sermon we've preached here in the last few years, well, that's going to be one of the great questions of the Bible to burden our hearts. Is it really too much to ask the people of God to seek God an hour a day in this time of uncertainty, how we should look and how we should have God experience, how we should experience God and pray and seek his face? I don't think it's asking that much. And God's laid upon myself to take up the challenge to do at least an hour a day and seeking him and praying him, and also to bring that before the people. And I'll give you some tools to help you with that as time goes along. I'm going to preach the message sometime in the near future, maybe even on Wednesday night, or even maybe on a separate time to, you know, can you not watch with me 1 hour, when he was speaking to Peter in the garden. As we consider the cross coming up and Easter coming up, what a wonderful time to remember. It was a very hard time at that moment in time for Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Is it really asking too much to say, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not pray for 1 hour? Is not circumstances dictating more prayer and circumstances dictating more getting closer and drawing nigh to God? So that's my challenge for you. Now, if you want to say, hey, Pastor, I'll take that challenge with you, and you want to text it to me, that's great. Some people are very serious about their commitments to God, and they don't want to tell anybody else. I get it. It's not something we're going to publicize and put a list of names. But if you want to say, hey, I'm praying with you, I'm willing to do that, I'll make you, that's wonderful. You'd be one of Faith Baptist Church's prayer warriors. Not for public notoriety, but instead to be an encouragement to one another. Are you willing to pray? And I don't want you to make a decision because of me. I want you to take the challenge just because of me. I want you to take it home and think about it and say, you know what? I believe God's leading me to pray extra before I have that state, before, until that state of emergency is lifted up. And I'm willing to commit it to the Lord, but also remind that to the pastor or someone else you know, so that way they can be accountability partners with you and say, hey, did you get your time in? And I'm going to try to give you some resources to help you with that, whether it's a weekday or on Wednesdays or Sundays. And I want you to realize God's placed us here for a reason and a purpose. For such a time as this, let's figure out why God placed us in this spot, in this moment, in this time of history, to respond the way he wants us to. Respond with courage. Respond with seeking him. And respond by speaking up. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the stories that are found in your word. I see that story with Esther, and I try to understand how Mordecai felt. This niece that he loved, I'm sure he was so proud of. and saw how God was using her. And I can imagine when this moment came up, he wanted Esther to step up and be courageous. And Esther wavered for a second, reminded him of something. And then God, you allowed Mordecai to encourage her to do what was right and had a part in helping save these people. And God, it was miraculously how you worked in the heart of Esther and through the king. But we know you're in control of all things and that you can do it all. Lord, help us to seek during our hard time, to search during our hard time, to ask you what it is you want us to do for such a time as this. And Lord, I pray that there be many that would accept this challenge. I pray there be many that would say, hey, I'm willing to pray more. I pray that we take what's happening serious enough to say, this can affect the hearts of people. Let it soften our hearts. Let us repent of our ways. Let us seek you. Let us not be like the nation of Israel we heard about this morning. Let us not just ignore it and you be able to say the same thing, that we didn't return unto you. But instead, let us have a soft heart. Let us fast and pray. Let us weep as the nation of the Jews did. Let us seek your face. Help us to be courageous. Help us to speak up, even though sometimes it may be uncomfortable, and even though sometimes it may cost us something. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the God that we can turn to, the one true God, the only God. Lord, help this church family. Lord, I pray that they know that they're loved, that they're prayed for. And Lord, I pray that your light shine brightly through Faith Baptist Church in the next 30 days, in the next 60 days, in the next year, however long these issues may take. God, work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's Sunday evening service, March 29th. And as I mentioned yesterday in a little text message video I sent out, we miss you guys. Looking forward to the moment in time where we can meet here together physically in this church building. And I have had a couple of people tell us we should have a celebration. And we'll have a celebration at some point in time. Probably not the first Sunday we come back because we want to make sure we're being safe with all the virus stuff. But, you know, we can celebrate in the Lord all the time. I encourage you, if you be a blessing to other people. I know I've had the opportunity to call some. I know my wife's called some. And lots of people just need someone to encourage them and talk with them. Encourage them in the right ways, just like Mordecai did. Doesn't mean you have to be bossy. Doesn't mean you have to be pushy. But the same way, you can encourage people. Ask them if they have prayer requests. Sometimes people just need you to sit and listen and talk to. Sometimes you can do all the talking. They don't care. But they need some encouragement. So I encourage you this week, seek, fast, pray, ask God why he has put you here at this moment in time, and then be willing to act courageously. Be willing to speak up where you need to speak up, but always be seeking, fasting, and praying for his will. I will be here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I have a number of people keep on telling me, I'll see you tomorrow. And I say to him, I'll see you too. He said, no, Pastor, you're not going to see me, but I'm going to see you. So I won't get to see you on Wednesday, but hopefully you'll get to see us. Thanks again for being such a great church family. And remember, God is in control.